Hello, and welcome to the Drama and Language Teaching Podcast. This is a podcast for teachers, practitioners, and researchers, and anyone else interested in the intersections between drama and theater and language teaching and learning. My name is Stephanie Giebert. I'm the host and producer of this podcast. Welcome to the podcast. I'm very happy that you could come on as a guest. And as usual, I ask my guests to just introduce themselves briefly. So it would be lovely to know who you are and where you currently work.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me for this podcast. I'm very excited. My name is Annelise Albertsen. I'm living in Norway. I have an education in theater and music from Dalhousie University in Halifax, Canada. And since then, I have studied English, pedagogy, and didactics. And I am now a PhD candidate at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. So I have worked as a stage director and as a teacher in theater and English and communication studies in upper secondary school. My PhD project is focused on dramatic literature and theater and language learning.
Mm-hmm. So theater and language learning is your current focus?
Yes.
How long have you combined theater and language learning? Do you know roughly? Or is it a new thing for you? Or have you done that for a couple of years already?
Well, I've been in my PhD study now for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I am, just to say something about what my focus is in the PhD study is, mm-hmm. I'm really interested in embodiment and our embodied language and how our senses and affective capacities are at work when we connect with others and our surroundings. And so I'm very interested in looking at how this makes itself visible in the creative act of theater. So I came to work with theater in language after being a teacher in upper secondary school, where I started using drama and theater when working with students who were in the vocational study program, specializing in health and youth studies. And I was teaching this subject called communication studies. And while teaching this, I soon realized that approaching this subject only on a theoretical level was obviously not enough, mm-hmm. since we are engaged with our senses and bodies naturally in everyday interactions. There was a need to make the learning process embodied. So these students were in training to work with people. So an awareness of how the self communicates through the body and the senses, as well as verbally, is really important, I find. Mm-hmm. So that's my introduction to how I ended up with using, I started using applied theater, which was very good. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see what happened in the learning process and how theoretical concepts such as active listening that we kept talking about, for example, became something they experienced through the body.
Oh, yes, I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to say I met you first at the Scenario Conference in Dublin this year, where you talked about a project where you combined two classes. But I think the class you talk about now was prior to that, right?
This was prior, yes. I'm sorry for the long introduction.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, it's good to know how people came to be doing what they're doing. So that's I really like it when people say, okay, this is my way how I came to using drama in the language classroom. So that's perfect.
Okay, well, thank you. When I worked with the communication subject, I realized that I could see how beneficial it was and how the group dynamics would change. And so I wanted to explore this further. So I took some of the, I started using applied theater in English classes as well, mostly theater games and activities for English oral training. So that was my focus then.
So the
And
class
so,
before was in the mother tongue.
pardon me.
The class before was in the mother tongue, was in
Exactly.
Norwegian.
Yeah. When they were training to become good communicators. Yeah. So it was a perfect fit for applied theater, really. So when the PhD position came up, I was really interested in how it was called drama in language learning, which was a wonderful position to be able to explore these things that I had been exploring thus far. And so the project that you mentioned that I talked about at the scenario conference, this was a part of my PhD research, where I did a devised version of Macbeth together with the students and teachers of two different classes in English language learning in vocational upper secondary school. I was a participatory researcher in this project, participating as a teacher in English and theater at the same time.
And there
Yeah.
were other teachers involved too, so you were not the only teacher.
No, luckily I was not. It was really nice to work with the other teachers. Yeah. And especially one of the teachers who was also a welding teacher. So both the classes were classes in vocational studies, only with different vocational focuses. So one of the class belonged to the health and youth work program, and the other belonged to the technical and industrial production program that focused on welding. So the students in this class worked a lot in the welding workshop.
And did you choose this combination on purpose, or did it just happen to be classes that you were teaching in any way?
Well, no, I was not teaching these classes at the time, but this was at the school I had been teaching at previously. I started actually with the technical and industrial production class in the fall. And so we ended up having a performance of Macbeth in the spring. So the first class that I started working with was this class, and it was a class of students who all identified as boys. And it was also a class with many reluctant speakers who mostly to preferred to be working behind the scenes. So when I realized that that was their preference, I thought it would be interesting to explore how working behind the scenes also can be an embodied and aesthetic experience. But I also wanted to have somebody on stage. So I heard about this other class, the health and youth work class. Somebody talked about them and how much they enjoy doing theater or being very outgoing. So I connected with the teachers to this class and asked if they wanted to participate in the project. So that's how I ended up with two classes.
Okay, because that's a really interesting combination. So students who focus on metalworking and students who work in health and youth work, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Then yeah, maybe you can tell me a bit more about the project. So what were the learning objectives for the participants, for example?
The learning objectives for my research, I wanted to focus on how language is embodied and how we can make it embodied and the aesthetic dimension of theater. So I followed the English curriculum for these classes with a
Okay.
focus on learning aims related to literature and oral communication. And I also related the work to their vocational training, which is one of the aims in the English curriculum. So in addition, I utilized a core value from the core curriculum, which is called the joy of creating engagement and the urge to explore. So it was founded in the curriculum. So I the way I designed the project, I really wanted this to be a devised process where the students, with their interests and skills and ideas, would be central in how the project developed and what the performance would look like. So I had initial interviews with the students individually where I got to know them better, and it gave me a starting point for how to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued with this dialogue throughout the process.
May I ask how many students were involved in the project?
Well, actually, the vocational classes are not that big, which makes it a perfect setting to work with theater. There are a maximum of 15 students in each class. So I think we had about 28 students involved in this project.
That's a size you can work with, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So throughout the process when we were working, I should say, though, that so going back to how one class wanted to be backstage and the other wanted to be on stage, made me realize that how every class is different. And when we use theater as an approach to learning, it will always depend on the group, what interests they have and how comfortable and safe they feel within the group.
So you talked to the students, you interviewed them in the beginning to find out about their comfort zones and interest levels.
Yeah, it was a very informal interview, and I just wanted to hear if they had some artistic background, if they played any instruments, how comfortable they would be being on stage, etc. So I could see, but also there is the group dynamic. So even if I had a few of, with the technical and industrial production class, a few of them expressed a wish to be on stage, but I think they got insecure when other members of the group did not
Oh,
want to be on stage.
their peers didn't want to be on stage, so they had second thoughts.
But still, they wanted to be backstage, which worked well. So they made the props, and they did the lighting design and created soundscapes that were used in the performance. So in order to do so, they needed to know the scenes and the play. And many of the props were made in the welding workshop, for example, the dagger, the crowns, and the swords. So the students had to describe the process of creating these props, and it became like an interdisciplinary project where they integrated their vocational program study in the work. Yeah.
Which is kind of the first thing I heard of, because I mean, I have never worked with metalworking students, so that's a very interesting and interesting angle to have. And I guess it's a great benefit if you have students who are interested in that and who have these skills, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. What I see, and it was a bit of a challenge for me, is that I am not a skilled metal worker either. And although I have some experience of lighting design and props and, you know, that whole creative vision behind it, I don't know how to do it. So doing a project like this again, I would want to connect with people who have these skills, and also preferably people who are used to working in the theater and can add that artistic dimension to the work. I think that would be beneficial for the students and for the project as a whole. But first and foremost, that the backstage work is taken seriously as an artistic discipline, so to speak. But as I said, one of the English teachers was luckily a welding worker as well, so he helped the students create the props.
And did this, so I gather the students also had to do research on kind of historical metalworking, I don't know, techniques or something, so that that research in English and reading comprehension were also part of the project.
Yeah, absolutely. So they also had to know what scenes these props would be made in, you know, so they had to have an intimate understanding of the play
As well, yes.
to do so. And we also talked about the Renaissance and the blacksmith in the Renaissance. So that was interesting and as a further way to explore the vocational dimension of language and Shakespeare, I guess.
And the soundscapes, how did they create the soundscapes? Was it mostly digital or did they use actual instruments, like
Well, we
real
actually ex
instruments?
we yeah, and that's an interesting question because we started off doing both, where they were going to create, like, because some of the students had a background in as drummers. They had training as drummers, but they were not really performers. They explored using tools and machines in the workshop to create a soundscape only from drumming on different things from the workshop. And they managed to do so, but the recording was not great. And also, they were a bit insecure in how to do so. And so, that's one of the places that I would have wanted to have somebody come in and guide them in a proper way, because I felt I didn't have the skills to do so. So a note for self next time. But then there were some students in the class who had very good skills in creating digital soundscapes. So they created these soundscapes for different scenes in the play that were played in the performance. Yeah.
Can you maybe talk a bit about the benefits of the project as the learners experienced it, as you experienced it? How did the language develop? What did the students think they got out of it? What did you find?
Yeah, it was we know that theater is great for in language learning, especially when you get onto this sense of flow. So one of the and that was very interesting because one of the benefits I found was that many of the students expressed they had an experience of a strong sense of fun. So as this project went on, I investigated fun further, and looked at how fun can be a strong driving force in applied theater. And the students talked about how fun strengthened the group and how it built confidence and a willingness to take risks. There were one student who said she surprised herself so much by being on stage and by talking in front of the class and just being in her body in front of the class and presenting herself like that. And the process also made me aware of some of the differences between digital communication and embodied face-to-face communication, and how dialogue can be more difficult to accomplish through digital communication. And I was especially made aware of this because some of the students talked about a conflict. There had been a conflict in the class just before I came in. And this conflict had in part taken place over messages.
And was this the metalworking class or the health and youth work class?
Now I am in the health and youth work class. So this was the health and youth work class, and this because this made itself very visible in that class, because I could see how when they got onto this strong sense of fun path, so to speak. I could see how this conflict was more difficult to sustain for them. And this is because I conducted interviews at the project's end, and this is what the feedback from them was as well. So it was interesting in terms of dialogue and how dialogue might be something that we cannot take for granted anymore. Maybe something like a skill that needs to be taught when we are faced with so much digital communication, where we can answer messages at another time and place, and where we can it's different to communicate through messages than being face to face with somebody, and you can read the whole body. So when the students were really close and had to be face to face and look eye to eye, it changed kind of the conflict.
And the conflict was there before you even started the project, so it was a personal conflict independent of anything to do with the project.
Absolutely, yeah, it started before I came in. So the benefits, social environment in the group is one of the benefits, but also when it comes to language, it was really fun to see how they were presented with a shortened version of Macbeth using original language. And it was really fun to hear one boy come down the hallway and cite Macbeth. So that was, of course, so they got to know Shakespeare and Macbeth pretty well, I would say, over the course of this project.
So the literature knowledge definitely deepened through the project. And I forgot to ask, how old were the students?
About 16, 17 years old.
So kind of upper secondary in the German would be in the German system,
Yeah, upper
upper secondary.
secondary, yeah. So, but many times, you know, when I introduced the project and I said I'm going to do Shakespeare in upper secondary school, some people were like, okay, good luck with that, you know, because it sounds so, but it sounds maybe,
It's kind of intimidating, maybe, for the
yeah.
students.
But I think just doing this as a devised project and working so closely with the students and not throwing the whole play at them in written form, like we watched a version of Macbeth on film as well. So we eased into it, so to speak, and also just making it relevant for the students, I think is really important. Yeah.
Could you maybe speak a little more about the devising process? So you said how what you did for starting off. Do you have maybe some other examples how you worked on devising the play? So did the students improvise, or did they go off and do creative writing? How did you go about that?
Well, we worked quite a bit with tableaus and using starting off using tableaus as a way to leave the voice out at first and just engaging with the body, which I find many students find less scary than saying the lines. We also used, so they would create scenes using tableaus, and we would also take themes from the play and work with the different themes like greed and superstition and
Ambition, maybe.
ambition. Yeah, thank you. So and we used association. So when working with the themes, the students were asked to associate on the themes, and this is where we came up with this idea that we included in the performance, where the class functioned as a chorus on stage. So they were all present on stage at all times, and they went in and out of character, going into the chorus, coming out as a character, and they had their props just under their chairs, put the
Okay.
props on, and then entered into a character and went back into the chorus. So the chorus was functioned as they commented on the action in the play using their own associations that we had worked on in the process.
So is this part of making this kind of relevant to the students' reality or time identity?
Yeah, I think definitely think so. And also it's a way to make it their own performance, so to speak. So for example, and we also had a storyteller and a master of ceremonies. That was an idea that popped up while we were doing the improvisations. So the master of ceremonies, which we called it, would stop the action and then comment with the chorus. So she would say, for example, now what's going on with Lady Macbeth right here? What is she feeling? Oh, she's feeling guilt, somebody in the chorus would say. And then somebody else would say, and guilt is like, and then they would bring their associations. And then we would go back into the play.
So you had a meta level, so to speak.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
Like
that's
a collage of all the things that we had worked on and that we put together in a final script. Yeah.
And did you perform it for a public audience or for an invited audience, or did you make a video? So how did you go about that?
We invited mostly the teachers in the school. We videotaped it so that the parents were invited to come in and see it after. The students, especially from the health and youth work class, were very interested in showing this to the parents. We're very very proud. So, yeah, so that's what we did. And I was all the time when I was working, I said, we'll see where this takes us. So it wasn't the aim was not to get a performance, but maybe a showing or something that just reflected the process. And so it turned out to become like, yeah, come a sort of performance in the end. And then it's nice to have an audience.
And the students wanted to show it to somebody, and
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
not all students want to, as I know from my more recent experience. I had students in lower secondary who were kind of very reluctant showing their piece to an audience, even though that was actually the predefined idea, but that's a different story.
Yeah. No, but I totally understand. It comes down to the group, and it's also these students would not have wanted to show this to other students in school. So it was okay with the teachers. Yeah.
I know that can be an issue with a certain age group, I think. Not wanting to be in front of your peers.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I definitely sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So we talked a bit about the benefits and kind of the process of the project. Were there any challenges, maybe apart from not being an expert in metalworking or the musical work? How did you experience that?
Well, I guess I have touched upon it. Like a great challenge was when I was working with the technical and industrial production class, a challenge was also to see that some of the students wanted to let go and really participate in the applied theater stuff that we did in the beginning. And then seeing that it was very difficult for them for some reason. Maybe it came down to like the atmosphere in the group or interests or previous experiences, but it was really difficult for them to just take this as what it was and just go with it. So that was definitely a challenge. But we worked, it was okay. You know, we worked with some theater games and improvisations. And but I could see how some of them were struggling. And so one of the aims for this project was to find those paths of joy and fun. So I saw that it was would be beneficial for them to do something else that could provide a different sense, that could provide a sense of fun without it being on stage. So that was a big learning experience for me as well. And also, of course, it was a challenge to have a group in conflict. But as I said, it wasn't that bad. This was a class that wanted to play, mind you. So if it was a class that didn't have that foundation of being happy to do so, it would
They
be more
want to do.
difficult to surpass that conflict. And of course, not knowing the group coming in and not having the group on a regular basis is a challenge as well. It takes a lot of trust from the students to come in and lead a project like this as an instructor or te and
Absolutely.
teacher.
And did you, how often did you come in, like once a week or every couple of weeks, or was it in like an intensive, like a block course?
Well, with the first class I came in, I guess like maybe five times before Christmas in the fall, and had them for a couple of hours each time. And then after Christmas, it was more like an intense period of a couple of months where I had them both groups four or five classes a week.
So that's fairly
So maybe
intense.
like, I don't know, like 20, 25 hours in total, something like that.
And did you have the two groups, did you ever have the two groups at the same time, or were they always in their two separate groups?
Well, there was a member of the first group, the technical and industrial production group, that wanted to be on stage. So he participated with the other group. And then leading up to the performance, the two groups met. And they were very respectful to one another. And I found that such a lovely thing. You know, we talked about not having your phones up, for example, when people were on stage, because everybody, obviously, they were afraid of being filmed
Oh,
and
yes.
be shared.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So and also being attentive, so when people were on stage, so and I'm talking about the backstage people doing the lights and the sounds and everything, that they would be attentive towards those on stage, so the people on stage wouldn't feel insecure. Are they talking about
Oh,
me?
yeah.
What's going on? You know, and that was a really nice experience to see how respectful they were towards one another.
Especially as they're not adults, but kind of teenagers still. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And having talked about benefits and challenges, did you because I think you also said you did some interviews at the end, did you get feedback from the learners? I think you already, I think we already touched upon it, that the learner said they it was fun, for example. Any did it have any other comments?
Some of them also talked about building confidence, for example, becoming better known with the Shakespearean world and language. They talked, many of them talked about, especially in the health and youth class, talked about the class environment improving.
Okay.
In the industrial and production, in the welding class, so to speak, they said it was, I didn't interview everybody at the end, but I interviewed, I think, four or five, and they said it was a good experience, and that it was better than just to sit on a chair and look at the board all day.
Okay, well, that's something.
So, but they were men of few words, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know the type. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but that, it sounds like a positive feedback in their style, as
Yeah.
I would say. And maybe moving on to my next question. I think you already talked about your own learnings from the project, such as how who you would involve in a project, any and that fun played such a role, for example. Any other learnings that you personally got from the project?
Well, I think what I want to continue exploring is especially like embodiment and aesthetics. I find that exploring aesthetics in terms of it being defined as a meaningful and artistic experience, it's interesting and something that I'm eager to continue with. I think that looking at the aesthetic dimension of educational theater is important, and it's important to ask ourselves, what does that mean? How does it relate to the artistic side of educational theater? And what can we do to sustain these levels of theater in educational and applied theater? Also, as I said, I think using and looking at how to use scenography and backstage work into theater-based approaches in language learning is interesting to look more at. Yeah, and I mentioned I was really thrilled to discover the power that fun can have, and I'm also surprised of how little research there is on fun.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
there's not much research, quite a bit on enjoyment, I would say, but or joy. So, and some would say they're very much connected, but I really think the concept of fun, where you kind of lose yourself and you enter what I explored as liminal experiences, where you connect with a group and how strong and powerful that can be. There's not much research as far as I can find on that. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know from the kind of the language teacher angle that sometimes fun is looked at a little, like little being a little suspicious, as like, yeah, it's
Yeah.
good if they say it's fun, but are they really learning this kind of thing?
Exactly.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's an idea, I think, that when it's fun, it's not serious necessarily. But from what the students talked about after they did have a learning experience that was grounded in using language, learning language, and engaging with language on an embodied level. So, and doing it, some of the students said, I just lost the sense of time and I connected. And I think it is so important to consider what is learning. How can we accomplish real embodied learning? If we do not include being connected with the group around you and being in a good place within yourself, I think it's important in the learning process. So fun is definitely something that is, we should take seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And
I think you
explore.
did mention it's connected to flow experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let me check if I had one more question. Yes, right. So you talked about your learnings with the project and what you might do differently. Would you do a similar project again?
Yes, I'm actually planning my next project now with a new upper secondary class. We're going to look at or do a version or work with The Tempest by Shakespeare. And blue, connect this to blue humanities using theater and this time also arts-based methods. So I will be using art as a story where they connect the play to their own stories and their own relationship to the sea. So that's
Okay.
very exciting.
Yeah, that definitely sounds exciting. So maybe I have to invite you again in a year or so to see
Oh,
how that
wonderful.
project
I would love to.
Do a follow up. Okay. I think I would wrap up. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And thank you for adding this angle of, students who focus more on the backstage work, because I don't think I had very much of that on the podcast yet. So thanks for adding this new this new angle and introducing us to your project work.
Thank you so much for having me.
And yeah, good luck also with your PhD project.
Thank you.
And well, maybe we'll talk about how the second project went sometime in the future.
I would love to.
If you would like to learn more about drama and language education, check out our conference, the Drama and Education Days, which are going to take place later this year in October. There are two parts of the conference, and we've published the calls for papers and workshops. So there's going to be an online conference on October 10th and 11th. And there's going to be a face-to-face conference in Uppsala, Sweden, which is going to take place on October 26th and 27th. Check out our website for the call for papers and any further information. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.